This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you very much for listening. It is presented by Pin Chasers. I've been telling you about the three Pin Chasers locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. 6816 Gale Boulevard in East Pasco, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, and of course 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans Expressway. Anthony Peroni and I have a very good relationship. He is wonderful with prizes and free bowling for Todd Wright Tour golfers. In every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, gave me a huge basket with an all-inclusive bowling birthday party, I believe for 12 people. Basically everything but your alcohol was included, and a new bowling ball, which made it the one gift basket you never want to drop at one of these events, because you know what happens when you drop a bowling ball on your foot. Thank you, Anthony Peroni. I bring attention to those of you in the Tampa Bay area about Pin Chaser, specific to the Pin Chasers Facebook page, because I do tell you about birthday parties and group outings and league play and locations and late night specials and the breakfast bowl, but this is all on their Facebook page. And it's there so much more than I can tell you about, including to celebrate their 60th anniversary. Sunday, November 3rd, you can bowl for 60 cents. You can have an order of fries for 60 cents. You can have a hot dog for 60 cents. You can have a soda for 60 cents. And if you're saying, well, what about the shoes? You don't pay for those anyway. And if you need socks, ask and they'll just give you those. So there's no reason to make the shoes 60 cents. It's already free. All right. So again, the 60th anniversary party at all three Pin Chasers locations, Sunday, November 3rd. You can bowl for 60 cents a game. You can have an order of fries for 60 cents. You can have a hot dog for 60 cents. You can have a soda for 60 cents. 9 a.m. until midnight. That's damn good. Follow Pin Chasers on Facebook and visit pinchasers.net. Congrats to Anthony Peroni on their 60th anniversary, and they're having their big 60th birthday party on November 3rd. What else could they have offered for 60 cents? A 60-cent slice of pizza? Okay, I know I'm pushing it, Anthony. I'm sorry. I'm just getting creative here. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Full Torque Fitness. Daniel Shipman is one of my favorite people to deal with, to do business with. He has great attention to detail. And based on that, I know he really cares about his customers. He comes out to every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, alone or with an associate like Amber at Todd Wright Tour 21. He brings out the professional massage tables and offers complimentary stretching to any and all of my players that want it before they play their round. It also allows my players to talk to Daniel and Amber and other associates about what Full Torque Fitness can do for them, because there are three key questions that you should ask yourself if you play golf regularly, for score, or for regulation. Do you experience low back pain as a result of playing golf? Do you get tired on the golf course or after a round of golf? Do you feel like your hips are not allowing you to play golf properly? If you answer yes to any of these, this is where Daniel and Full Torque Fitness can put you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen. Finds your limitations, builds a program to remove them, get the most out of your swing, play better golf, feel better physically. FullTorqueFitness.com, FullTorqueFitness.com, or call 727-351-5164, or come play in a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. All right, Todd Wright Tour 22 will go on sale to the public in the coming week. If you want information on the public sale of Todd Wright Tour 22, email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, follow me on Facebook or on Instagram at toddwright2019. Buy into the tournament, meet Daniel face-to-face at my tournament and talk to him while he gives you a complimentary pre-golf stretch. FullTorqueFitness.com. Recording this podcast at roughly 5 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday afternoon, all of the 1 o'clock NFL action, and there was a ton of it, is complete. So I don't have anything to say yet about Cowboys-Eagles or Pats-Jets on Monday night because those games haven't been played as of the time that I record this podcast. A few, let's just say, negative housekeeping issues before I talk about why I opened the mic to do this moments ago. First of all, three things as it relates to three people that I'd like to get off my chest. Will you allow me? Thank you. In no particular order. Lovie Smith. No, he still sucks. That's what I want to make sure you know. He still sucks. Illinois, as a 30-point underdog, did upset Wisconsin yesterday. Those type of upsets are very rare in college football, though we've had in the last 2 weeks a 20-point dog in South Carolina beat a Georgia team that just played a bad game. And then we had a 30-point underdog in Wisconsin against Wisconsin in Illinois, went on a last-second field goal. Here's what I compare this to. And I've been a fan for various lengths of time of major men's championship golf and NASCAR. Golf still, yes. I had Justin Thomas winning this obscure event, I believe in South Korea, called the CJ Cup, which amazingly has a first place check of $1.7 million. And in fantasy golf, I had him to win the tournament, and I win 1,700,000 points. I wish it was dollars. So, yes, I still follow golf very actively. NASCAR, not so much. I have been one that has gone away from the sport as well, as they have made many changes and just lost a lot of personalities that I thought were fun to watch drive those cars. Nevertheless, in both major championship golf and in NASCAR, you have those that cover those sports, especially on television and on radio. So MRN, the voice of NASCAR, or on the Golf Channel, that when there's a surprise winner in what is considered a big-time event, there is this rush to say and make a case for what it means for that golfer and their career going forward and how many more of these events they're going to win now, even though nobody predicted that one. And the same in NASCAR. Often in the old era of the restrictor plate, which has it no longer exists, but restrictor plates were run on super speedways to prevent cars from going too fast. In the end, even, I'm going to try to explain this very quickly, even the cars that weren't the best equipment could get up to the maximum speed, and thus cars raced in a pack rather than them being able to sort of move around one another. They were kind of stuck with each other. And it made the racing very high speed and very dangerous. It also leveled the playing field significantly in the super speedway restrictor plate events, which is why, and I was a season ticket holder for the cup races at Daytona. Often at Daytona and Talladega, you got surprise winners, like a David Ragan, or with inferior equipment, an Eric Almirola, though that was a rain delayed race. Trevor Bayne, who's done nothing since. In golf, a Michael Campbell, as an example. A Rich Beam comes to mind. There are many others. That's what Lovie's win against Illinois was. It was Trevor Bayne winning the Daytona 500. And the coverage of Trevor Bayne winning that Daytona 500 was what it would mean for Trevor Bain and how young he was and how bright his future was, and it hasn't meant shit. I don't like the word fluke in general, but it does have some merit in certain situations. Trevor Bain winning a Daytona 500 was a fluke. Michael Campbell winning a PGA championship, I'm sorry, won a United States Open, beat Tiger Woods at Pinehurst, I was there, was a fluke. And anyone who said at the time what it meant for them going forward was wrong. They got caught up emotionally in it. They tried to look at a big picture that didn't exist. This win means nothing for Illinois football and nothing for Lovie Smith. Nothing has changed. Nothing. Lovie Smith was 2-25 in Big Ten conference games at Illinois against anybody not named Rutgers prior to Saturday's win as a 30-point underdog. It changes nothing. It is one win. Congrats. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope the parties were good that night on campus. Lovie, congrats. It means nothing. It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. Some are even saying it doesn't hurt Wisconsin that much. They were looking ahead to Ohio State. If they beat Ohio State, they're right there. They're right there in the picture to play in the Big Ten title game and potentially punch their ticket to the college football playoff of the Rose Bowl. Now, I'd much rather, if I'm Wisconsin, be undefeated than have one loss going into that game. And it's embarrassing that Wisconsin lost it. But for those of you pointing at it and say, hey, Lovie Smith must be getting things done there. No, he's not. No. He's now 3-25 in Big Ten games against anyone not named Rutgers. 3-25. 30-point underdog. Trevor Bain winning the Daytona 500. Michael Campbell winning the U.S. Open Golf Tournament. That's what that was. That's it. Ask any hardcore Chicago Bears fan if they thought that team coached by Lovie Smith would have been better off with someone else other than their head coach. And Lovie stepping to the podium every week saying, Rex Grossman is our starting quarterback. Bad imitation, bad choice. Lovie Smith knows how to coach guys to do one thing, strip the football. He may be the best at it on planet Earth, coaching guys, coaching defenders, how to strip the football from the ball carrier. I have nothing else positive to say about Lovie Smith, nothing. This is a guy who, after 2 years with the Buccaneers, when the owners of the Buccaneers wanted to call him in face-to-face to say, you know, we're thinking about making a change here. He refused to come in and talk to his bosses and fight for his job and told Jason Light, tell him to fuck off. Here's my address. Keep sending the check. I wish the Glazers would have pulled an Al Davis and fired him for cause and insubordination. Because that's the kind of asshole he is. And it takes a lot to out-asshole the Glazers at times. But he did it. So that's one thing I want to get off my chest. Here's another. This might be more apropos for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. But you know what? I'll save it. I will. I'll save it for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Because I went longer on Lovie and how meaningless the win is against Wisconsin. So I'll save the next two. I want to move on to something that just happened in the NFL and something that a respected colleague wrote a week or so ago. Okay, so I flipped open the microphone to do this podcast after Cordarrelle Patterson returned a kickoff for a touchdown for the Bears against the Saints in one of the few late afternoon games being played on this particular Sunday. I'm not sure if it was the first kickoff return for a touchdown in the NFL this year, but it certainly wasn't the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, or the eighth. I'm guessing it was the first, second, or third. And that play just doesn't happen very much anymore, right? One of the most meaningless wastes of time in sports. And I did a previous podcast of the stupidity of Major League Baseball and how the playoffs have done nothing to convince me I'm missing anything by not watching games 1 through 162 anymore. But at least baseball eliminated the intentional walk. It's gone. Now, it still exists on the score sheet, but they don't waste any time on it. I remember one time within the last week in an Astros-Yankees game, it happened so fast, you never saw the player with a bat in his hand, and then the next thing you know, he's on first base. They're already on to the next batter, and what's going on with that at bat? Baseball got that right. Don't waste any time on that. And forget the people that say, well, what if it's a wild pitch on it? Yeah, that doesn't happen enough to even be consequential. Stop. Baseball got rid of it. The need to have the batter stand there and watch four balls be thrown wide and outside the strike zone in succession. They got rid of it. They eliminated it because it was a waste of time. The kickoff in the NFL, unfortunately, has become baseball's intentional walk. There aren't enough Cordarrelle Patterson returns anymore because the league doesn't want them. They don't want those high-speed collisions. They'd love to have more returns like that, but unfortunately, the high-speed collisions happen too often, right? And a lot of those returns get flagged anyway. Michael David Smith always came on my national programs as the editor-in-chief of ProFootballTalk.com. And then when I used to fill in for the Big Dog in more recent years before the Big Dog passed away, Michael David Smith would always return my message and come on with me and talk the NFL. He wrote a couple of weeks ago how not only has the kickoff become, I call it, the intentional walk of Major League Baseball and a waste of time, especially when it's the first play of the game. MDS focused on how now late in games when a team is down two scores, they almost have no chance to get the ball back if they try an onside kick. As of the start of play today in the NFL, zero attempts at an onside kick had been recovered this year. It was minuscule last year because they changed the way players line up on the kicking team. And it prevents and lessens the advantage, and lessens the advantage for the kicking team to get in position to recover the ball, which is too bad because it's taking a lot of the fun out of the end of football games. You know, I was sitting at the Cowboys' victory over the Seahawks in the playoffs last year at Jerry World. And the Cowboys were up two scores, but here's Russell Wilson bringing the Seahawks down the field, and we're watching the clock and watching Wilson move the chains, and then it was a fourth down play, and he throws a touchdown, and I'm like, oh, great, here we go. And then Seattle, because they didn't have timeouts, couldn't kick the ball away and try to force the Cowboys to punt it. They had to try an onside kick. Now, they had lost Janikowski to an injury when he attempted a field goal at the end of the first half. So Pete Carroll had to send his punter out there to try an onside kick, and the punter didn't understand what he was supposed to do. So the punter instead kind of pooched it about 40 yards downfield. Cole Beasley went underneath it, grabbed it, and just gave himself up, and that was the end of the game. And Carroll admitted later, yeah, he misunderstood. He didn't know what he was doing. So, and even I thought about it before I realized it was the punter, not knowing he didn't know what he was doing, and saying, well, teams don't recover onside kicks anymore. I think we're good. I think the Cowboys are good here. The odds are on our side. That was good for the Cowboys, but it's bad for the game. I think we'd all agree. It's more fun in pro football when a team is down two scores in the closing minutes with the ball, knowing if they score once, they have a chance to score again. It seems like the only way now they can do that is if they've got a full complement of three timeouts, can kick the ball away, force the opposing offense to punt, and take their chances by calling timeouts. Sometimes you can get away with it with two timeouts, depending on how much time's on the clock, because that other team might throw the ball or something that stops the clock. But only that is working. The onside kick is not. So MDS mentioned there was a proposal. It was voted down, but perhaps it will come back, where the competition committee looked at, I believe it was the Chiefs that brought it up? I know the Chiefs wanted to change overtime, go figure. They might have brought up one other thing, which was allowing teams to run a play rather than kick off. Now, you could only do it once, but you could sort of merge that into an idea that ironically was floated many years ago by Greg Schiano, of all people, whose National Football League reputation is only the defensive tackles firing at the knees of the center to knock the quarterback backwards so he drops the ball on a kneel down. But Schiano said, why don't we just punt instead of kick off? It's more of a play. It reduces the high-speed collisions on kickoffs. And you can have a team either punt or go for it, just as they would in a normal possession. It might be time to consider merging all these ideas and doing a combination of them, because the kickoff is now baseball's old version of the intentional walk and usually a waste of time, and the onside kick does not give teams a legitimate opportunity to get the ball back at the end of games, rendering games less exciting, and that's not good for any of us. So well written by MDS of ProFootballTalk.com a couple of weeks ago. I wholeheartedly agree. And watch, now that I said that, someone will recover an onside kick in the Cowboys-Eagles game tonight. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Full Torque Fitness. Full Torque Fitness, of course, supports every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament with their appearances, buying foursomes for their clients. Visit FullTorqueFitness.com or call 727-351-5164. And Pin Chasers. Go to the Facebook page of Pin Chasers for those of you in the Tampa Bay area. I've been telling you about their 60th anniversary. Their official 60th birthday party will be Sunday, November 3rd, at all three Tampa Bay area Pin Chasers locations: East Pasco, 48447 North Armenia, 5555 West Hillsboro. From 9 a.m. to midnight, Sunday, November 3rd, Pin Chasers will offer everyone bowling for 60 cents per game, fries, 60 cents, hot dogs, 60 cents, sodas, 60 cents. And remember, your shoes are free anyway. Visit pinchasers.net. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.